It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you are absolutely amazing. I hope you're ready for some football over the weekend. Football tomorrow, NFL playoffs. Football on Sunday, NFL playoffs. Monday night, college national championship between The Ohio State University and Notre Dame. Yeah, it's a lot of football. It's that time of year. It's January. It's cold outside, and damn it, we got football. We got to be happy about that. I'm in Atlanta. It's about to be cold. I know Ryan Botcher, our producer, holding it down in New York City. Oh, yeah, it's cold. It's cold all over the damn place, in most places. Anyway, we've talked about a lot. We've been hanging out for 2 hours already. We got two more to go. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app if you've missed a minute or if you have missed a second. Hey, thank you to Ben Standing. He covers the Commanders for The Athletic. He joined us in the last hour. Yeah, the Commanders are going to need, I don't want to call it luck. They're going to need a whole lot of offense if they want to go out there and beat the Lions in Detroit. We talked about Max Crosby bigging up, you know, his team that he grew up for, the Lions. We talked about Buffalo and Baltimore. It's going to be cold on Sunday night at that game and the snow. How much snow, we'll see. And how about this? We have a forecast of snow in Philadelphia when the Rams take on the Eagles. How about that? They're expecting about 3 inches of snow to start at around game time. Nobody can ever predict, but there might be some snow on the ground. You know, I was already giving the Philadelphia Eagles the edge. I think they got a little bit more of an edge now. A.J. Brown may not be happy. He still might have more than one catch. But I think things are a little different. We're going to talk a little bit about that game, a matter of fact. Thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You can find me online everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. What a day. What a week. Everything has just been, it's been so busy, and time has flown, and it's so much. A few minutes ago, we talked about Jimmy Butler. He pronounced that he is back. By the way, if you care, Joel Embiid is gone, has swelling in his knee. You can expect him to be gone for about a week. This guy just takes vacations. I think his knee is crap, and it'll never get better. And they got to pay this dude $60 million at some point over the next several years. Just absolutely pathetic. Pathetic, pathetic, pathetic. And how about this? In about 20 minutes from now, to kind of look at the entire landscape that we have right now in the NFL playoffs, we're going to have a conversation with Wes Reynolds from VSiN. And VSiN is obviously a network devoted to sports and making sure that you get all of your money and all of your coin right. So we'll have that conversation with Wes to take a look at all the games that we have. And he'll be here in about 20 minutes. If you want to call up, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Knowing and learning now that we're going to have a football game in the snow in Philadelphia, it's going to be fun. Nick Sirianni, the guy who typically seems, seems very unsure when he talks. Nick Sirianni talked about what his team is going to do, these Eagles, with Saquon in the snow.
You know, we've practiced in it all week, practicing it last week, the elements. I know our guys are tough. I know our guys are physical. And so there's different things you do in a snow game, depending on how the snow is. Just like there's different things you do in a rain game, just like there's different things you do in a wind game. And so, you know, I know our guys will handle the elements regardless of what they are this weekend.
Oh, this is fun. You know, watching guys play in the snow is fun. It's not fun to sit outside and freeze your ass off unless, you know, you're paying for it and you want to have a good time and the experience. That's great for you. Me, I'll be on my couch. The warmth of my home, I don't need to be outside. I don't need this. And I already had the Eagles beating the Rams. We talked about this on the air yesterday, but now that we have a snow in the forecast, this further cements to me that this is going to be a team. The Eagles should go out there and handle business. And we shouldn't have any complaints about how many times Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball, because they're probably going to want to run the ball a whole hell of a lot. And Saquon Barkley, who led the world in rushing, almost broke the rushing record, or didn't even play in the final game against the Giants to do so. Saquon Barkley, who grew up in the Northeast, who grew up and played out in Penn State, and he's getting advice on playing in the snow from LeSean McCoy. This is what Saquon said.
Yeah, I know all about it. I wouldn't say I know it from watching it. I think once I got here, or even watching Shady, his highlights, that's one probably one of his most memorable games. I think he had another one in Buffalo, too, when he played in the snow game. Definitely going to call Shady, and just in case we do get some snow, see what he did, because there's no reason. It don't make sense how he was able to cut in that snow, and you could just see he was on a whole different level.
Yeah, he's going to tell him, hey, this is the length that you need to have your spikes. Like, that's what we can expect. Yeah, I'm sure, Saquon Barkley asking a guy who played in the snow, how do I do it? Yeah, go ask LeSean McCoy. He had plenty of success with Philadelphia. But it's Saquon Barkley. I don't think he needs all that much advice as to what to do out there in the snow. And so, of course, Eagles are used to playing in the cold weather. Northeast gets chilly. The Rams play inside. And we know that their game last week, as they moved on, and they played inside. Not in Los Angeles, but in Arizona. They play on turf. Not used to seeing the Rams running around playing out in the snow. And Matthew Stafford, a man who's won a championship with the Los Angeles Rams, he was asked about the weather in Philadelphia this weekend. And I don't want to say he shrugged it off, but you be the judge.
We'll see when we get there. You know, every situation, every weather situation I've been a part of is kind of different. You go out there and see what you can do, what you can't do. And I'm sure that, you know, Sunday will be no different.
Yeah, what are they going to do? He can't come out and say, oh, I'm worried about it. Oh, my footing is going to be terrible. Oh, how am I going to find Puka Nacua? Oh, man, how am I going to find Cooper Kupp? He's not going to go out there and make excuses. And we also know this is a big deal. You know, they went out and eliminated the Minnesota Vikings on Monday. They have a turnaround to play on Sunday afternoon. They had to evacuate Los Angeles due to the wildfires. They had to go to Arizona to play the football game. They then turned around and went back home to L.A. Now they're going from L.A. to play in Philadelphia. There comes a point in time, I think, where just life is going to go ahead and catch up with these Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford was asked about that, just the back and forth, the travel, and this is what he said.
A lot of unknowns, obviously, you know, and luckily we got back here you know, everybody's doing everything they can to make it, you know, as functional of a city as we possibly can. I think they're doing a hell of a job, which is great. And then, you know, our mind turns to football straight right away. It's a short week anyways, playing on a Monday night. You know, they got a full 24-hour jump on us at least. So, you know, try to get your body and your mind ready as quickly as you can.
Yeah, that's it. We hear that a lot of times from professional athletes. By the time you actually get in between the lines, and people handle things differently. Playing the game is the ultimate distraction. And I would definitely hope and think football, where you make one wrong move and that could mean, you know, a career-altering injury. Like, the focus has to be immense. So for the players, this has to be an escape. But thinking about evacuating and having to move a game and then go back to your family and figure things out, it's taxing, and it can't take away from preparation. I'm sure that they're all locked in. We've heard about some of the great accommodations that not only the Arizona Cardinals had for the Los Angeles Rams, but how the team sent buses and they had the planes to get the players and their families out. It's nice. But when you break just your normal routine, it catches up. I'd hate to be the guy to say this. I got the Philadelphia Eagles. I got them beating these Rams. I think they're a better team. And I know last week when the Eagles beat Green Bay, there was a lot of conversations about the offense and only scoring 2 touchdowns and A.J. Brown only having 1 catch for 10 yards. I think things are going to be a little different. I don't know if we're going to get the controversy, and I don't know if A.J. Brown is going to want to, you know, take his book out and read his book in the snow. It might ruin the book, but when you're a multimillionaire over and over and over again, I don't know, maybe he can laminate the book at this point. It's pretty wild. Nick Sirianni, the head coach again, he talked about what a good game would mean for Hurts because Nick Sirianni said, of course, our offense, it could have been better. Listen to this.
Wins. You know, he just, you know, again, just continues to do everything he needs to do to help our team win the game. And I think, you know, Bob shared with me, you know, what he kind of talked about, you know, not real concerned about stats. I'm concerned about wins. And, like, what I admire so much about that is, like, you know, we have such, you know, Jalen's very selfless and just wants to do what he needs to do to help this team win football games.
Okay, how about that? Wins. Last game, he threw for 131 yards, had two touchdowns, but they got the win. Apparently someone, he said he wasn't mad, even though he's just reading a book to focus. We've heard A.J. Brown. I don't know if he wants the wins. I think he also wants he wants the ball. He wants some catches. He wants some targets. I mean, this guy had more pages of his book read than he had receptions last week, which was one. A.J. Brown, you working? You ready? You tired? You upset? Or you just going to work?
You know, I'm a work junkie. You know, I love to work. And, you know, and that's the way I try to get better at, and that's where I get better at. You know, and as you saw before the game, you know, I did like a whole individual myself, you know, just get going, you know, some things I missed before during the week.
Yeah, I think this is, I don't want to call this an easy one to call, but I'm going with the Rams. Hey, Ryan, what are your thoughts on who's going to walk away with the W here?
I'm going to say the Eagles. Just, I think they have a better defense than the Rams, and I just trust Saquon more than I trust Kyren Williams to carry the game.
Oh, absolutely. And did I say I believe the Rams are going to win? Did I say that?
I think you did, by accident.
I said that by accident. You're damn right. I'm going with the Eagles. Yeah, it's the Eagles have just been they can ride Saquon. And I, like I said, I don't want to find it comical that he's reaching out to LeSean McCoy. This is one of the best running backs that we've had in the NFL over the past decade. Now, Saquon Barkley can go ahead and ask and pick the brain of whoever he needs to because he's great. That's what great players do. I mean, any little bit of information that you can acquire to go ahead and get an edge, you go ahead and do it. But Saquon Barkley in the snow, the Eagles, their defense, I know they've missed N'Kobe. They're going to be perfectly fine. And unfortunately for the Rams, I know that they've been able to play and provide a distraction to the people in Los Angeles. Much love to everybody out there who's still dealing with the ramifications of the wildfire. I just think that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to take care of the Rams. And again, a big shout out to those Eagles fans who actually took the time to create a GoFundMe that raises money for wildfire relief. Yeah, not all the Eagles fans are they're not all jerks. Let's just go ahead and put it that way. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, we are going to have a conversation with Wes Reynolds from VSiN. I'm going to ask him about the game that we just discussed between the Rams and Philadelphia. We'll talk about Baltimore and Buffalo. Those are the two games on Sunday. And then, of course, we didn't even really get into this one. Is this going to be a competitive matchup? I'm talking about Houston and Kansas City. Ah, man, the only thing slowing down Kansas City, I guess, is time off. And maybe the time off helped them get a little healthy. We'll see if they have a little bit of, let's just say, rust. I don't know. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back on the other side of the break. We're going to have that conversation with Wes Reynolds. Don't move. I got you covered.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We have so many divisional games that are taking place over the weekend. You got football all day on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. You could tune into the national championship for college football to get a peek into these games, the ramifications, the odds, what things are looking like. We're being joined by Wes Reynolds, who is a host at VSiN. Hey, Wes, how are you, man?
JR, I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Thank you for taking the time to hop on and join us here on the air. You know, we've talked about quite a few of the games, the divisional games before you joined us. What game has captured your attention the most?
Well, I think it's probably a common refrain that the main event is on Sunday night right there on CBS, and it's going to be Baltimore and Buffalo. And look, there's a lot of sentiment out there that, hey, maybe this is going to be the AFC Championship game. Now, you got a team that's 15-2 that's going to have something to say about that should they advance. But it does kind of feel like that because of the MVP ramifications. One of these two is going to win the MVP, either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. So I'm interested to see this rematch, though, because Baltimore really put it to them on Sunday Night Football earlier this year. So Baltimore also has become the favorite because I think probably of the wild card weekend winners, I felt that Baltimore was the most impressive. I know that Steeler offense had really been trending down over the last several weeks, but the Baltimore defense has been trending up, and just a complete 180 with how they started the season, arguably the worst pass defense in the league. Now they're number one in so many of these metrics, yards, points, expected points added per play, yards per play, et cetera, et cetera. So this Baltimore defense has been dominant second half of the season.
Well, Wes, you talk about how close we expect this game to be. We're going to see one of these guys is going to be the MVP winner. Why do you think Baltimore has swayed into being the favorite? Is it weather-related? Is it the Derrick Henry factor? Why do you think that shifted?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that Baltimore's defense, like I just mentioned, has really stepped up and emerged as one of the better units in the league. And also the fact that, you know, Buffalo, you got to give Josh Allen a lot of credit. He doesn't have Diggs anymore, so I don't know if he really has a true number one receiver, even though Khalil Shakir has done a nice job. But the weapons just they don't look like they're elite on that team, even though they put up plenty of points. A lot of that is Josh Allen with his legs and just his ability to improvise when he's under pressure. But yeah, I think that's why Baltimore has really become favorite, because Baltimore, even though Zay Flowers doesn't look like he's going to go on Sunday, I think it's the running game. I think that they have the ability to either outscore teams or kind of play in a phone booth, if you will, you know, where they have Lamar running the ball and they have Derrick Henry running the ball. Justice Hill, by the way, has been a really good weapon out of the backfield. If you're looking for a prop like sneaky over receiving yards,
Yeah. Get
him out of the backfield and those wheel routes as well. So Justice Hill has been an absolute weapon in the passing game.
Wes Reynolds is joining us here from VSiN, talking all things NFL football this weekend. That's the main event on Sunday night. The first game that we get is tomorrow afternoon, as Houston is going to be in Kansas City. We know Kansas City has been off for the better part of 3 weeks now and some change. Houston, not necessarily the most exciting. How do you think this game is going to factor? Should we expect a slow or bumpy start by Kansas City, or are they just going to steamroll them?
Yeah, look, I think that we very well could. I think it's probably going to be a lower-scoring game. If you recall, these two teams did meet in Week 17, and Houston, remember, they scored the touchdown out of the first half that Tank Dell caught, and he dislocated his kneecap in the process. And then I felt you had the emotion play in where the wind just got taken out of Houston sails and Kansas City was able to just keep them at bay. That spread in the first meeting was only 3.5, but a lot of that was because of the Mahomes ankle. It probably would have been 5.5 or maybe in the 6 range had Mahomes, been 100% clean bill of health. But now it's up to 9. Seems like it's getting a little bit rich, but that might explain at least a little bit of the adjustment. So would lean to Houston in the points there. I think this Houston defense is legit. The problem with these guys is, who is C.J. Stroud going to throw the ball to when Steve Spagnuolo and the defense is able to take Nico Collins away with Dell out, with Diggs out? So probably a low-scoring game, and also C.J. Stroud's been the second-most quarterback sacked in the league, well behind Caleb Williams, who he got sacked like about 5,000 times, it seemed like, this season. But yeah, Stroud, look, they have trouble protecting a little bit. So you're going to get them behind the chains and some short drives. I look under here at under 41.5, 42.
We got Wes Reynolds here from VSiN. Before you joined us, you want to talk about scoring. We know that Detroit likes to light up the scoreboard. Washington likes to light up the scoreboard. We also know Dan Campbell is trying to go back to another NFC Championship game. We know that he likes to go out there and gamble. What are your thoughts on what Detroit will do in this game and then potentially in the next one?
Yeah, look, home teams off a bye in the divisional round have not been that great against the number, really, over the last 20 years, about 44%. But I think with Detroit, this might be a little bit different. And we know that they're priced to the moon because they're the most dynamic offense in the league and they're the number one seed in the NFC. But I think Detroit getting a little bit of taste of that playoff last year where they really should have went to the Super Bowl. Remember, they were up big in the NFC Championship game at San Francisco and blew that double-digit lead. I think Detroit's going to have attention immediately. I do not expect a lot of rust from these guys. You do have the Commanders coming in who have won so many close games down the stretch of the season, and this is their third straight road game because, remember, they went to in Week 18, then had to go to Tampa, then had to go to Detroit. Historically, not a very profitable situation for the road team. It's a big number to lay full game. You always kind of worry about maybe Washington, Jaden Daniels, who's been brilliant as a rookie, kind of getting them in the back. Lions first half minus six. I think they get out to a very quick start.
Another game that we're looking forward to, and I don't know if their time might be up just with all the adjustments they've had to make. The Los Angeles Rams are going to take on a Philadelphia Eagles team in the snow that's trying to get their offense together. You know, you don't want to just hand the ball off to Saquon all the time, but it might be snowing. We'll see. What are your thoughts on how that game will look, especially given everything the Rams as a team and as humans have had to go through?
Yeah, and look, both of these teams really slow. In fact, have been very slow starters. Take out last week against Green Bay where they got that fumble on the kickoff and they had a short field, scored a touchdown, and Green Bay was pretty much climbing uphill the rest of the game. But Philadelphia, if you look at the score, they only average about 3.5 points in the first quarter. That is the bottom third of the league. And the Rams also, when they go outdoors especially, in the first half of the outdoor games, the five games the Rams have played in that scenario this year, they've been outscored 9-6.4. So that tells you very low scoring first half, very much slow starters. You saw it when they went on the road, even against the Jets, who were a dead team several weeks ago. So I think probably a slow start here. You may get a lower scoring game, but I think the Eagles kind of do what they do, right, JR? They start out a little bit slow, and then all of a sudden that running game with Saquon and with Jalen Hurts and with Gainwell off the bench in the backfield, they wear you down. And you've seen them do that to so many teams this year, and I think eventually they pull away. But the passing game for Philadelphia has got a little bit of an issue, not only with Jalen Hurts, you know, having been rusty off that 3 weeks off with the concussion, but also I don't think A.J. Brown is fully healthy. So I think you're going to see Philadelphia try to run the ball right at the Rams, and I think that's a good thing to do. And Philadelphia, by the way, probably the best clock-bleeding offense in the league. So they get long drives and wear down the clock, and that's very good for the under.
Now, Wes Reynolds is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The cool thing about Sunday is we're going to get to the final four teams. The worst thing is we're getting closer to the end of the season. What do you think the Super Bowl is going to look like down in New Orleans? Who are you favoring to go down to the party town?
Yeah, look, I've been riding with the Eagles all season in the NFC. I know Detroit is power rated higher in everybody's power rating, and their offense is so dynamic. And I think getting home field was certainly crucial for Detroit. I don't know if it's as crucial for Philadelphia here. I just think better defense, better running game. When in doubt, I'm always going to side with that. So I like Philadelphia. My preseason, of course, was Kansas City to go back for a third. I'm feeling Baltimore right now. I just think they got the momentum rolling. The defense is dominant. Lamar is obviously playing to MVP status and probably likely is going to win the MVP. So I think we're getting Eagles-Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Okay, and if Lamar Jackson walks away with it, he told everybody on draft night, I'm going to bring a Super Bowl to Baltimore. I think they're going to name some streets after him if he can go ahead and get that job done, Wes, huh?
He'll be the mayor of Charm City, as we say.
Yeah, most definitely. And speaking of championships, I know you're out in Vegas with VEASAN. obviously, everybody is looking at Mark Davis. People are looking at Tom Brady. What are they going to do? Who's the next head coach? Who do you think is lining up to go ahead and fill that spot, that coaching vacancy in Vegas?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Now, Ben Johnson is obviously – there's always a hot candidate, right, in the coaching carousel that's kind of that hot coordinator. And I think Ben Johnson, he may end up having the pick of his jobs. So he has certainly interviewed. And, I'm going to be interested to see who it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a McCarthy or one of the guys that were recently let go. There was rumors about Vrabel. Now those have been put to bed that he's returning to New England. So I think as of now, Ben Johnson certainly would be the favorite.
Okay. Now, are you enthusiastic about Tom Brady being in the building? Mark Davis is going to take a little bit of a backseat now, right?
We'll see. Tom is doing his broadcasting career, which is kind of, I guess, conflict of interest. If you want to say he's the lead broadcaster and the lead analyst on Fox, and yet he has some ownership and decision-making power, clearly, with the Raiders. So maybe a little bit of a conflict of interest there. I guess Fox doesn't think so, and that's the important thing. But, they've tried to do it with New England, where they tied McDaniels with the general manager. That did not work. Then they hired Telesco from the outside and promoted AP Antonio Pierce after they had that hot end of the season. That didn't work. So, You gotta tie that relationship together, and certainly Tom is going to have some input with Mr. Davis.
No, I certainly hope he has a whole hell of a lot of it. Hey, Wes, we talk about a broadcaster, someone who was a broadcaster and then went back to being a coach, is Deion Sanders. You think the odds are high or low that he's going to stay at Colorado? We should expect him to stay, right? Not Dallas.
Yeah, look, I don't see him. I don't see him getting the Cowboys job. I think, a lot of this is a good story, and clearly he and Jerry have a very good rapport. Maybe he's leveraging for a little bit more money, because all of a sudden these reports out of Boulder are leaking that, Deion's going to the AD and the powers that be out there at Colorado, like, hey, we need some more NIL money. We need some more to get these players in here, as good of a recruiter as he's proven to be. So I think for the interim, he's going to stay there. Do I think, he's long-term, 5-10 years from now at Colorado? No, probably another college job, especially if they have a big season out there in Boulder. He says he likes Boulder, but he's still putting his name out there for other jobs. So you never really know, but I don't expect him to be the next coach in Dallas.
Hey, Wes, speaking of college, last question for you. Should we expect Ohio State to smoke Notre Dame?
I don't know about smoke. They may get off to a slow start, but I think Ohio State, if you've watched them throughout the season, when they're at their peak, they're the best team in the country. Nobody's better is better than they're better, shall we say. And I think they showed that against Tennessee. They showed that against Oregon. Texas, I thought, had a very nice game plan. Boy, Texas got to be kicking themselves because they had the opportunity there and then decided to run that toss sweep against one of the fastest defenses in the country. And then next play, of course, the sack fumble returned by Jack Sawyer. So I think that this is going to be a higher scoring game, though. And that's going to favor Ohio State, because I think Notre Dame, if they're going to stay in the game, they got to run the ball, use Riley Leonard and his legs, set some packages up for him, and they've got to slow the tempo down. I just don't think that they could go, stride for stride with Ohio State and make this a big up-tempo, high-scoring game.
Well, I hope we have a better game than what we had last year. I'll just go ahead and leave it there. I think it'll be a little bit closer. I hope, Wes. I hope so.
And look, I'm a Midwest guy, so I like two Midwest teams here. So I'm fine with the SEC having a year out of the championship game.
I can dig it, Wes. Hey, where can people follow you and all of your amazing work hosting at VSiN?
Yeah, I am on the X or the Twitter or whatever Elon's calling it now, at Wes Reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, and then the number one at the end of that. And then obviously our website at VSiN.com. You also can get our various streaming platforms. We are back on SiriusXM, channel 158. So follow us there. We're very excited to be back on SiriusXM.
Hey, Wes, thank you so much for the time. We'll catch you on down the line. Enjoy all of the football, okay?
You bet, JR. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. That Wes Reynolds from VSiN. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Speaking of the college football playoff, it seems that there may not be a change when it comes down to the seedings and the format. I'm going to explain that on the other side of the break. And then also, speaking of change, the NFL is ultimately, sooner than later, going to move on to having these teams play 18 regular season contests. How soon can we expect it? When is it going to happen? Well, we'll hear what Roger Goodell had to say about this earlier today. Yeah, change is inevitable. Maybe one is coming in the NFL. Maybe one isn't coming in the college football playoff. I'll give you an update about that on the other side of the break. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, and right now we're going to take a break for a newsflash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Wes Reynolds from VSiN for coming through. He's looking at the Super Bowl, and he's like, I got the Ravens, and I got the Eagles. Just birds. There's two birds, and then I would say birds of a feather, but they're not. It's actually, well, yeah. Let me ask Ryan. Ryan, you don't know a damn thing about animals, right? Nothing?
About what specifically?
The birds? So ravens are supposed to be real smart, right? They're supposed to be, like, well, all birds are supposed to be smart. But if we put a raven and an eagle in a room and said, fight it out, the eagle would whoop that raven's ass, right?
Yes, because of the size.
Tear him from limb to limb, well, not limb to limb, feather to feather, wing to wing?
I think eagles have sharper claws than ravens, and they're much bigger. So I think that'll play into it.
The raven wouldn't have some elaborate Home Alone trap?
Not without Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay. Nevermore. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Thank you again to Wes. He also gave us some thoughts on the upcoming college football championship game that will take place here in Atlanta, Georgia on Monday night between Ohio State and Notre Dame. He said it, I think, consensus says, Ohio State, if they go on a run, an early one, they may run Notre Dame into the ground. So we'll see. Notre Dame has a great defense, and so this may not be a beatdown or a blowout. And now that the college football playoff will be here in Georgia on Monday night, of course the commissioners are here. Everyone is here. The college football playoff committee will be here. And ahead of the game on Monday, they're actually going to have a meeting on Sunday. And now that we're in the college football playoff, the championship ahead of that, what could they actually be sitting down and meeting about? They're going to, I don't know, sit down and have a fancy steak dinner? Probably and possibly. But amongst that, they're going to be meeting to discuss how this first ever college football playoff has gone, how it's taken place. They're going to talk about everything from the seedings that I would say are pretty ridiculous. You look at a team like Boise State, and they certainly got waxed. And then they'll look at some of the teams that didn't get in, like in Alabama, and whether or not there needs to be an expansion. So if there's anything worth discussing related to the college football playoff, the committee will discuss it. Now, my biggest issue has been the seeding. The fact that you can go ahead and rank, but then you got to seed it differently because we got to show love to the group of five. I just find it's DTM, doing too much, okay? Like, you got to take the best teams and just seed them out in order. We don't need to just start, you know, handing out byes. And I know that eliminates a lot of the, already has, the importance of some of the conference championship games, but that's just a result. Do you want to have more teams with a chance and opportunity to compete for a title? Or do you want to put more emphasis on the conference championships? But I'm not so much up in arms about that. But this has been reported. It is highly, highly unlikely that we get any changes next year. Not happening. And so if you're looking for a change in the seedings or how things are executed, don't expect it. Heather Dinich covers college football for ESPN, and she made it very clear. Her sources are very skeptical that anything will change for 2025. And that's because in order for anything to change with the college football playoff in 2025, it has to unanimously be agreed upon by the FBS commissioners and the presidents and chancellors in charge of the college football playoff. She finishes by saying, I don't know what your house is like, but they can't unanimously agree on what to have for dinner tonight. And so changes, highly unlikely we should not expect them. I think the next big change that we'll see with the college football playoff is expansion. Yeah, I know. I think it's inevitable they're going to move up from what they already have in 12 teams. And is it necessary? No. I mean, we went from 4 and now we got to move up to 12. They're going to do 16. I don't know. As long as this thing doesn't end up looking like the NCAA March Madness tournament, which is impossible, there's such a thing as too much of a good thing. And let's be clear. A lot of the matchups that we saw early on, and I don't care who got a bye and who didn't, some of them games sucked. They did. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I also mentioned potential changes in the NFL. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, the guy that New England Patriots fans hate and gave this guy a clown nose, Roger Goodell was sitting down talking business earlier today. Roger Goodell was talking money. And why not, right? Every NFL team pays Roger Goodell approximately $2 million. This guy's making money hand over fist, and so is the league. Roger Goodell was chatting with Bloomberg Sports about the business of the game. And Goodell was asked about the potential of moving the league schedule from 17 games played to 18. We know it's gonna happen. This is what Roger Goodell said about the possibility and when and how.
So I think if we continue to focus on the safety, I think 18 is a potential. And as you know, we would take a preseason game away. So we would keep within that 20-game framework. We actually started 14 and 6 preseasons. We went to 16 and 4 and now 17 and 3. So 18 and 2 is a logical step. But we would only do that with the players.
What? I like how he says like it's possible. We all know it's possible. And we know the NFL is ultimately going to do it. Now, what fight or resistance they receive from the Players Association, that's TBD, because here's the deal. Are they going to have to wait until the next collective bargaining agreement to do that? Are they mutually going to agree to do that, to eliminate a preseason game? When it comes to unions and professional sports, the NFLPA, it's not exactly the Major League Baseball Players Association. As hated as it might be, the NFL Players Association is just, hey, I need my check. I need to play now. I didn't save my money. These players in the NFL also, they only get paid in a regular season. A lot of these guys, lo and behold, they are taking out loans and getting advances on their money when they're not in the NFL regular season. It's crazy, but it's a fact. And so you have a lot of players who are just, they're just taking in the money. And a lot of these guys don't even vote when it's time to think about the collective bargaining agreement. And so, yes, it is inevitable. The NFL is going to move to 18 games. Is it happening next year or the year after that? I'm not so sure. But I think the concession is going to be given. Let's take away another preseason game. And the preseason games over the last, 10-plus years, they have just dwindled in significance. It's a great time and a great opportunity to kind of run some guys out there who might sit on the back end of your roster. You might find a diamond in the rough to contribute to your team. But the preseason should be a time where the NFL players can better condition their bodies for the beatings that they're going to take. But ultimately, who wants to watch the preseason? Nobody. Now, I think there is a detriment to the product early on. I think the NFL, throughout the course of the year, they've lessened the amount of hits and punishment that players can take in training camp and practice. And, yeah, we see injuries, but the NFL will probably claim the injuries are not going up. So you can play 18 games, even though you're not even playing in the preseason. And so this is inevitable. Am I enamored by it? No, I don't care. Do I need 18 games? No, I don't as a fan. Damn it, I didn't need 17 games, and here we are. I'm still going to watch. NFL went from 14 games to 16 in 1978. A couple of years ago, we now have 17 games. Now we're going to get up to 18, and eliminating a preseason game that a lot of the players don't even play in is a big deal. The NFL can scream as much as it wants about player safety, and we care about the players. You might, because you need them to make money. That's it. Don't care about 18 games. The NFL doesn't need 18 games. If there's any benefit to 18 games, you know what? I'm going to do this. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, yeah, we're going to run through everything that we discussed so far in the show, but I'm going to tell you the one benefit there might be to the NFL having 18 games. And do you think 18 games is a good idea? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'll get to your calls, and I'm going to tell you why 18 might be good. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.